Portugal's got an economic and political crisis on its hands, a crisis that could spread.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media, in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Portugal's prime minister stepped down today after rival parties there nixed the government's latest budget-cutting plan. Investors responded to the sudden parliamentary move by making it more expensive for Portugal to borrow money. The ripple effects could be felt around the world and perhaps right here in the United States. From London, here's Marketplace's Stephen Beard.
The resignation plunges Portugal into crisis. The country doesn't have a new plan to cut its debt, and now it has political uncertainty too. Portugal will find it harder to borrow, and most likely will have to be bailed out, like Greece and Ireland. This raises more questions about the euro. Portugal would be the third euro country to hit the skids, the third domino. Steve Barrow is a currency strategist with Standard Bank.
As these dominoes fall, the market really just sort of sniffs blood and feels that literally any country could be vulnerable.
European leaders are gathering in Brussels today for a two-day summit on the future of the euro. They plan what they call a permanent solution to the euro debt crisis. But the Portuguese fiasco suggests that crisis may be bigger than the EU's leaders realise. In London, I'm Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers. Markets are higher right now. The S&P up about 0.7%. The Nasdaq about a full percent. The Dow up 72 points, about 0.6% at 12,158. The number of people seeking first-time jobless benefits last week fell by 5,000. That's good news, according to the Labor Department. Electronics giant Best Buy said profit was up in its last 3 months, including its all-important holiday season, helped most by the sale of mobile phones. Walgreens says it's going to buy drugstore.com for close to $500 million. And Toyota said today it's going to stop production at some of its North American plants because of the parts shortage from earthquake and tsunami-ravaged Japan. New data from the Census Bureau today show the vast majority of growth in this country between 2000 and 2010 came from ethnic and racial minorities, an unprecedented 90% from minority population. The report also highlights where the supposed middle of the country is population-wise. Marketplace Economy 4.0 special correspondent David Brancaccio says that middle moves every 10 years, and he's here to talk about where it's been and where it's going. Good morning, David.
Morning.
What do you mean the middle of America moves every decade?
Take a piece of cardboard, cut out a map, the shape of the lower 48 states, and then put a grain of rice on the cardboard where each of us lives, the entire population. Where that cardboard map balances is the mean center of population distribution. 10 years ago, a town called Cuba in Missouri on Old Route 66, then the new census data came in. As the population shifted south and west, it went to Edgar Springs, Missouri. I telephoned a gentleman named Junior Harris in Edgar Springs, and he actually tends to the grass around the commemorative plaque of the population center.
See, the Highway 63 bypassed it. And ever since then, the population is going down within the city limits. See, we only have one store and a post office is all we have.
So the economy not so great, but they do have the plaque marking the population center for the past 10 years, but that center is now moving somewhere else.
And any idea where?
Plato.
Plato, like the squishy stuff?
No, like the Greek philosopher Plato, Missouri population 62. Now, Junior Harris guessed where it might go, and there happened to be some government surveyors taking a look at his plaque the other day.
He said, no, we can't disclose that until next Thursday. And I said, well, I already know where it's going. And he looked at me and said, you do? And I said, yeah, it's going to Plato. And his eyes just locked right on me, and he kind of raised his brow a little bit, like, you told him something that no one else knew.
So, David, what does that tell us?
It tells us the population over the past 10 years did not move quite as quickly in the southerly and westerly direction compared to the decade before, maybe 40 miles this time compared to about 50 miles the last time. Perhaps the crisis in the housing market is what's the cause there. We're not as mobile a society, possibly.
Marketplace's David Brancaccio. David, thank you.
My pleasure.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by MassMutual, offering retirement and 401k plans to businesses for more than 60 years. MassMutual.com/retirestrong. By CSX, whose trains move a ton of freight nearly 500 miles on 1 gallon of fuel to help reduce fuel consumption. CSX, how tomorrow moves. And by Thomson Reuters, committed to empowering professionals of the world with the knowledge needed to do what they do best, the Knowledge Effect.
Inflation is certainly no joke, and neither is this fact. It's getting more expensive to buy things that are funny. The 2011 Cost of Laughing Index keeps going up and up. What does that mean for the economy, though? Malcolm Kushner is a comedian and consultant. He's the guy who compiles this list, and he's with us right now. Good morning.
Good morning.
What are we thinking about when we think of the cost of laughter? What are you talking about?
Well, it measures what I like to call the 18 leading humor indicators in America. It includes things like the wholesale price of rubber chickens, whoopee cushions, and things like, you know, staples of humor. And it also, to give it geographic balance, it also includes the Saturday night admission to 10 comedy clubs in cities across the U.S.
So a broad spectrum, then, of comedy.
Absolutely.
What is it that you saw this time?
Well, after last year, which was incredible, I've been doing this since 1987. Last year, the index dropped for the first time ever, but now it's back to normal. It jumped 3% this year.
What does that say about the economy if things are more expensive in the comedy field?
I think it's a leading indicator. I think maybe the recession really is over.
All right, so I'm thinking humor, fun. I mean, does that mean people are going out more often? How do you make the connection?
Well, I mean, you talk about disposable income. If people can raise prices on, well, Groucho glasses, there's a staple of humor. In 2 years, they've gone up 60%. It's incredible.
How much do Groucho glasses go for these days?
$24 for a dozen.
For a dozen. That's $2 a pair.
I don't think Groucho could afford it at that price.
Malcolm Kushner, comedian, consultant, and the author of this Cost of Laughter Index. Malcolm, thanks.
Oh, thank you, Steve.
I'm Steve Chiotakis, and this is APM, American Public Media.
When you think of Petco, the pet supply store, this is probably not what comes to mind.
It is the size of a Blockbuster video. It is very trendy, upbeat. Your sales staff is in jeans and really cool t-shirts.
I'm Kai Rizdahl taking Fido upmarket next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.